And now, Don Blackwell.
Does God mean what He says? That's the question we're going to be discussing in today's program. We're going to be beginning our study today in Matthew chapter 16. If you have your Bible, we hope that you will open to the book of Matthew and follow along with us. Beginning in verse 21, the Bible says, "From that time Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised the third day. Then Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you.' But He turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" Now, friends, in this text, Peter had a problem with what the Lord said. But his problem was not one of understanding. He understood what the Lord was saying. There was no difficulty there. Peter's problem was with accepting what the Lord said. Peter just could not bring himself to accept that this is how it was going to be, that Jesus was going to have to die. He could not accept the Lord's will in this matter. And so the Lord rebuked Peter after Peter had rebuked the Lord. The Lord said to Peter, "You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Brother Hugo McCord's translation puts it this way. He says, "You are not thinking about the things of God, but the things of men." Friends, I want to suggest to you that Peter's attitude here is one that has characterized mankind from the beginning of time. The fact that people are not willing to accept doing things God's way. They're not willing to accept that God means what He says. The title of the lesson today is, "Does God Mean What He Says?" And it is a question of eternal consequence, because it is the words of God that will judge us in the last day. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words, he has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Now, does He mean those words? Or are those words flexible and that each man is free to his own interpretation and that it really doesn't matter what God said anyway? Friends, the first point in today's lesson is that Eve did not believe that God meant what He said. If we go back to the very beginning of the Bible, I want us to learn a lesson from the wife of Adam, whose name was Eve. You remember the account. God said, the Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you shall surely die.'" Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Now, I want you to observe with me that Eve knew what God had said. And as a matter of fact, when the serpent came to her, tempting her, she repeated it back to him. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 2, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of that tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" So Eve clearly knew what God had said. There was no doubt about that. But when we come to the New Testament, we learn in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14 that she was deceived. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression, the Bible says. Now, what was she deceived about? Friends, she wasn't deceived about what God said. She clearly knew what God said, and she demonstrated that by the fact that she repeated it back to the serpent. She knew what God said. She knew that God said death would surely come to them if they ate of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what was it that she was deceived about? She was deceived by the devil into thinking that God did not mean what He said. She knew what He said, but Satan persuaded her not to believe it. Maybe she thought this way. Maybe she thought, surely God's not going to punish us for eating that fruit. I mean, how big of a deal is it to eat of a fruit, really? Surely that can't cause any harm. Surely that's not what God had in mind. Surely God did not mean that I'm actually going to die if I eat this fruit. But friends, I want to ask you the question, did God mean what He said to Adam and to Eve? The second point I want for us to notice is a lesson we learn from the people of Noah's day. And that is, the people of Noah's day did not believe that God meant what He said. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, "So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." But before God destroyed them, He gave them an opportunity to repent. The Bible tells us that there was one man who was a preacher of righteousness. His name was Noah, 2 Peter 2 and 5. Now someone might say, well, what did Noah preach? I think obviously, without a doubt, Noah preached that destruction is coming, that there is a flood that's coming, and he warned the people to repent of their wickedness. And the indication seems to be that Noah preached to these people for 120 years. The Bible says in Genesis 6 and verse 3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with mankind forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And so the Lord essentially said, I am tired of these people's sin. I am tired of their continual wickedness. I'm going to destroy the earth 120 years from now. And friends, I've got the idea that from that time on, Noah began preaching to these people, you need to repent. There's a flood that is coming. But did the people believe that God meant what He said? No, I imagine the people laughing at Noah. Probably they mocked him and said, Noah, what are you talking about? Probably, according to the Scriptures, it had never rained before. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 6 says that God watered the ground through a mist that came up. Probably they'd never seen rain. And so when Noah began talking about rain that was going to come and flood the earth, the people probably thought, Noah, this is foolishness. Noah, what are you talking about? But let me ask you the question, did God mean what He said? A third lesson that we want to learn comes from the wife of a man named Lot. Lot's wife did not believe that God meant what He said. When God was about to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, He went to Lot and to his family and He said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you." Now friends, is that difficult to understand? If someone told you, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you," would you have any difficulty understanding that message? Is there anything complicated about that? Anything that's hard to grasp? Not at all. He said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere on the plain. Escape to the mountains," He said, "lest you be destroyed." Genesis 19 and verse 17. But verse 26 says, "But Lot's wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Why? Why did that happen? Was God's word unclear? Was it imprecise? Was God's message, was His command to them difficult to understand? Friends, the words, "look not behind you," are abundantly easy to understand. Then why did she look back? Well, maybe it was that she didn't realize the commandment came from God. Now, I have to discount that. Certainly she knew that it came from God. When the angels came into the city and took them by the hand, you remember how it was that the angels struck the men blind? You know that she was certain these were messengers from God. So what was the problem? She understood the message. She knew the message came from God. Then why did she do it? Why did Mrs. Lot, why did Lot's wife look back? Friends, it can only be that she did not believe that God really meant what He said. But I want to ask you the question, Did God mean what He said in relation to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? Did He mean what He said? The answer is obvious. Yes, He did. Our fourth point, our fourth illustration, relates to a man who gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. In Numbers chapter 15, we read about a man who gathered sticks on the Sabbath day, a man who obviously did not believe that God meant what He said. In Numbers 15, beginning in verse 32, the Bible says, "Now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all of the congregation. And they put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp.' So, as the Lord commanded, Moses and all of the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died." Now, had God spoken on this subject before? Had God given instructions in relation to the Sabbath day before? Friends, yes, He had. God had given instructions related to this. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And God was very specific about this. In verse 9 of that text, He said, "6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates." God was very clear about this. And to make it even more plain for them, in Exodus chapter 35 and verse 3, He said, "You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day." He says, don't build a fire on the Sabbath day. And yet here's a man out gathering wood to build a fire on the Sabbath day. Now, did the people understand God's law with regard to this matter? Friends, evidently they did, because when they saw this man picking up sticks, they were disturbed. They took this man to Moses and they said this man was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. They understood the message. So what was the problem for this man? Friends, he did not believe that God really meant what He said. Maybe the man reasoned this way. Maybe he thought, you know, is it really that big of a deal? I'm just picking up sticks. It doesn't hurt anyone. I need to have a fire and I've got to have these sticks if I'm going to do that. And I know it's the Sabbath day, but I'm running behind and this really can't be that big a deal. Surely God does not mean that I cannot do that at all. But friends, did God mean what He said in relation to the Sabbath day? I want to give you another illustration. Another illustration is a man who was named Uzzah. Uzzah did not believe that God meant what He said. God had given very specific instructions with reference to the transporting of the furniture from the tabernacle. And very precise instruction had been given in reference to the Ark of the Covenant. He said, "When it comes to the Ark of God, you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, and that ark may be carried by them." Exodus 25:14. In other words, He said on the sides of the ark of the covenant, there were metal rings, and they were to slide these rods into the rings to carry the ark. He said that's the way the ark is to be transported. That's the only way. And to go further than that, in Numbers chapter 4 and verse 15, He said, "They shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die." Well, some time passed, and we come into the days of the kings, and David is the king. And David has decided that they were going to go and they were going to get the Ark of the Covenant back. It had been in the house of Abinadab. It had been there since the days of the judges. And so they sent a cart to get the Ark. And two men sat in the front, and they hooked up oxen to pull the cart. The two men driving the cart were named Ahio and Uzzah. As they were traveling, the Bible says, according to the American Standard Version, that the oxen stumbled and Uzzah reached out to put his hand on it. Probably his intentions were to steady it so it didn't fall. They stumbled, and Uzzah did not want the ark to fall. He put his hand on the ark of God, and the Bible says the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. Now somebody might reason, oh, come on now. What was Uzzah's intent? Surely that's not what God meant. Surely he did not mean it was wrong to touch the ark if you were trying to stop it from falling. His intent was good. But friends, I want to ask you the question, did God mean what he said? Another example that we learn that God means what he says is in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. We read about two sons of Aaron. Their names were Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu did not believe that God meant what he said. In Leviticus chapter 10, the Bible says, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and put incense on it and offered profane fire or strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Now it says that they offered fire which God commanded them not. That means that it was unauthorized fire. In other words, God said, "I want you to get fire from a specific location," but they got it from another one. Very possibly, they should have gotten it from the brazen altar, Leviticus 16:12, but they got it from some other place. And maybe they reasoned this way. Maybe they thought, well, you know, God didn't specifically say not to get it from here, and so it'll be okay. Friends, the Lord said to get it from here, but He did not say to get it from this other place. And so in their minds, they may have reasoned and said, well, it'll be okay. They might have thought, fire is fire. What difference does it make where we get the fire? But did God mean what He said? In verse 3, the Bible says, "And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." And so Aaron held his peace. The idea expressed in these verses is this: God is going to be glorified by man doing what he commands him to do, or by punishing us for refusing to do what he commands us to do. Nadab and Abihu refused to glorify God in keeping His word faithfully. And so God was glorified anyway by punishing them for their high-handed sin against Him. You know, this type of thinking of Nadab and Abihu is really not too far removed from where many people are today. Many people today use the same type of reasoning. Many people today will say, well, you know, God did not specifically tell us not to do this, and so it's all right. Some people today do not believe that God means what He says. Friends, the Lord says today that all accountable people have sinned. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, the Bible says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth who does good and does not sin." Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Romans 3 and verse 10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But there are some people who, because they haven't committed what they consider the worst sin, they really don't view themselves as sinners. You know, they haven't committed murder or adultery. There are people who are a lot worse than me, they think, and so I'm okay. And many of these people have convinced themselves that they are all right with God and that they're not in need of salvation. But friends, I want to ask you the question, does God mean what He says? He says that all men have sinned and are in need of salvation. Does He really mean that? Secondly, God says that all accountable people are lost if they have not obeyed the gospel. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And as we just pointed out, the Bible says that all men have sinned. And the wages of that sin is death. Friends, that means that you can't go to heaven Because Revelation 21 and 27 says, "But there shall by no means enter into it anything that defiles, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." On the Day of Judgment, instead of heaven, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7 says, "The Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." Listen to verse 8. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." But friends, some people do not believe that God means what He says. Thirdly, notice that the Lord says that baptism is the point at which a sinner is saved, and that those who are not baptized are not saved. In Mark 16 and verse 16, the Lord said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Friends, is that hard to understand? Is that a difficult commandment? It's not. It's very easy, very, very clear. But some people simply do not believe that God means what He says. Some people will even say, "I know what it says, but that's not what it means." Friends, the Lord means what He says on the subject of baptism. He says that it's for the remission of sins. Now, does God mean what He says? He always has throughout history. Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins," Acts 2:38. The Lord says that baptism is what puts a man into Christ, wherein is salvation. In Galatians 3:27, the Bible says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." See, the Bible says we are baptized into Christ. Now, does God mean what He says? The Lord also says that baptism saves us. In 1 Peter 3:21, the Bible says in the New King James Version, there is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, does God mean what He says? God says baptism is for the remission of sins. God says baptism puts us into Christ. God says baptism saves us. Does God mean what He says? Ladies and gentlemen, if you look through the Bible and you study the history of man, you will see that God has always meant what He says. But despite all of this, there are still some people who do not believe that a person has to be baptized to be saved. Friends, it's not what the Lord says that gives men a problem. The problem is that they simply do not believe that He means it. In Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Acts 17:30 and 31 says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness." My question for you today is, does God mean what He says?